Good morning. So we've been going through New Testament distinctives. And I was planning to wrap up today. I'm still going to try to wrap up today. But I have a slight problem that we'll try not to make your problem. So I was going to wrap up and kind of with a wrap up and everything else. I normally have about 8 pages, so I got like 15. So y'all are good for a couple hours. We'll let you leave if you need to. All right, so when I first started, first few times I was asked to speak, I could take 15 pages and I could be done in probably 15 minutes because I would start cutting stuff out as I went. Nope, don't need this. Nope, nope. And I was nervous and, you know, almost to the point of shaking, not too bad, but I just start cutting stuff out. So I could finish one up pretty fast. You might not have got everything, but I could finish it up pretty fast. So it's better that we don't cut too much out. But so this morning, we're going to look at giving. And you may wonder how that is a New Testament distinctive, but we will look at that and see. If you were here Wednesday night doing the video series with Chip Ingram and on balancing life's demands, and one of the things he talked about was money, so you'll get a double whammy to this morning after having from Wednesday night. The first thing we want to do is look at some misconceptions on giving. Then we're going to look at the pattern and instructions on giving for each believer. So many believers in Christendom today will talk about having to give their tithe. I have to give my tithe to the church. So what is a tithe? A tithe is a tenth. The New Oxford American Dictionary says 1/10 of annual produce or earnings formerly taken as a tax for the support of the church and the clergy. Unger's Bible Dictionary says tithing under the Mosaic law, the tenth of all produce, flocks, and cattle was declared to be sacred to Jehovah by way, so to speak, of rent to him who was, strictly speaking, the owner of the land, and in return for the produce of the ground, though if so disposed, a man was at liberty to redeem the tithes of the first fruits of his field and his trees by paying the value of them with a fifth part added. So this was something that the Lord instituted with Israel. So the tithes were used for maintenance for the Levites. It was pretty much used to run the nation, very similar to what our tax system would be now. Obviously a lot better than what our tax system is, but anyway. So one tithe was even taken every third year, which was for a festival, and was to be eaten in the company with poor and the Levites. Unger's Bible Dictionary says the firstborn, the firstlings, and of the tenth of the flocks and herds and produce of the soil were offered to Jehovah as being sacred to him. Tithes and offerings, along with the firstborn, were intended, therefore, to be the representatives of the entire produce generally, and being paid over as they were to Jehovah, they constituted a practical confession and acknowledgement that the whole land, the all possessions in general belonged to him, to Jehovah, and that it was he alone who conferred, grant, or bestowed them upon those who enjoy them. And as we look at Scripture, we see that is exactly what God wanted Israel to recognize and to acknowledge, that he is God, and Israel was to rely solely on him. He says, I am a jealous God. He brought them out of bondage in Egypt and gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. Everything was provided for them. You remember, they went in, they didn't have to build houses or anything. The Lord provided everything. he provided it. He took care of their enemies. He brought them rain, produced their crops, And he wanted them to recognize and to acknowledge it. And it's the same today for you and me. God is the sustainer and provider for all of us. We often don't look at that very well. We look at, well, I go to work, I do this. And no, it's the Lord who does the providing. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We see in Matthew 6 that the Lord tells us not to worry, not to give thought to what we're going to eat or drink or wear. Your Father knows you need all these things, and he will provide them, and he tells us to put him first. So as we're going to see this as we look at the New Testament on and giving in the New Testament and how that worked. So tithing in the Old Testament, again, was much like the taxes that we have now. And they could give above and beyond that if, you know, they were being thankful for what the Lord had done. They could give above that requirement was. So one of the misconceptions on tithing that we see with Israel is we presume it was 10%, a tithe, 10%. It was 10%, but it was 10% of cattle, 10% of flocks, 10% of their crops, their produce. In all, it came out somewhere about 23%. For some reason, we've grasped hold of this 10% in Christendom, and that's what we are required to give. A.P. Gibbs said, if giving under the law was 10%, then giving less than 10% under grace is a disgrace. Mike Atwood said, under grace, it would be unfitting to give less than what was required by the law. So again, we have that concept of where we've grasped something from the Old Testament, we've kind of held on to that, and that's not the teaching in the New Testament. Also, it's I have to give. It's this mindset, we know it's not true, but it's that mindset that we express that God needs my money for the church and for the clergy, for whatever the situation may be. God needs my money. I need to give it. I'm required to give this. God doesn't need your money. We all know that. He's not poor. The Israelites had some of those same thoughts, and the Lord addressed that in Psalms. Psalm 57 through 12. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I do not reprove thee for for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of your house, nor he goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. We know that, but sometimes we forget that. The Lord owns it all. Everything is his, and he's quite capable of taking care of every need without our help. But again, as we look at Christendom today, we have this terminology that we've pulled from the Old Testament, and the idea of having to give our money to the Lord to support his work. And if that's the way we understand it, we need to change our thinking. We need to throw the idea out the door. Tithing needs to stay in the Old Testament. It was an obligation for the children of Israel. It is not for the church. You can turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So God is a giver. He created us, and he's given us everything that we need. He's given us the earth. He created the world, placed us in it, and told us to multiply, fill the earth, and to subdue it. So he created the world for us and everything in it. And as you look at creation, what does he say? Every time he created, it was created with a plan in mind, and as he created it, he would say, he would look at what he had done and said, it is good. When he got to the end, he said, behold, it is very good. God created us a place to live, enjoy, a place to work, have fun, and to learn about our Creator. As you look at creation and the animals and the plants and the trees, we learn about who created them. And God's creation baffles the human mind as we learn more about it. And I'll throw in a thing before I've sent out a few of the creation moments. Some of y'all, I know some of y'all are getting it, but that is a very good, they send a little devotional every day. Creation moments has been on BBN for years. I remember hearing it growing up, but it's just a little short thing, and that's the stuff that they cover, very amazing, a lot of the stuff that they tell us about creation that only, that, you know, a God could do. Talk about your sense of smell. Science can't figure that out. Scientists look at that. They kind of know a little bit how it works. They don't really, they can't comprehend it. How does the cell determine you being able to smell things? In the brain, I think they said it was the most complex thing in the universe. Can't figure that one out either. Imagine that. God's, the more we study those things, the greater our appreciation of our Creator is. God is the ultimate giver. When we get to the New Testament, He gave the ultimate gift. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. God is a giver, and He wants us to be givers like He is. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll pick up in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do to you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affection, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord, unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be a first willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So there was a famine that had come up in Jerusalem. And the ones in Macedonia, they were poor, they were under persecution, and yet they were had gotten together a gift, and they were sending it to the brethren there to help out. Paul is telling the Corinthians were also getting together a gift, and they were going to send it, and they weren't in the same situation that the Macedonians were in. They were better off, and they had gotten it together, but they hadn't done anything with it. Paul's saying, don't wait for something you don't have. Go ahead and get it done. Get on with it. But in verse 7, we see, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. So Paul is telling them that they are to abound or excel in faith. in their speech and knowledge and so forth, and they're to abound or excel in giving. So when you start looking at your life and you start listing off those things you need to grow in and improve in, and we talk about the different things of our walk and our faith, giving comes to your mind how often? Probably not much. It's just not at the top of the list. Didn't even get on the list. We don't even think about it. One of the problems, it doesn't cross our mind. Well, there's a few things. One of these I want to throw out because as I say this, so I'm saying some different things from Christendom. Doesn't necessarily that it means that it applies to everyone here. And then the other thing is there's various reasons why people don't give. And one of those is sometimes is ignorance. And so, you know, as we learn, we grow and we obey when we hear. So one of the issues that we have with giving is our old nature. It's selfish. It's like the little kid playing with a toy, and another little kid comes up, and what do you hear? They start yelling, "Mine." You remember the movie Finding Nemo? And the fish are laying there, and the seagulls see them, and they start going, "Mine, mine, mine." You just want to smack them. Sometimes that becomes us. We hold on to everything very tightly. It's mine. It's mine. Got to hang on to it. As Dave Ramsey said, when you have your hand clenched trying to hold on to something, you're not able to receive anything because your hand is clasped shut. We need an open hand that we can freely give, and we can also freely receive from the Lord. So going back to a little bit of what we just said, lesson number one is nothing is yours. Nothing is yours. What did you bring into the world? Not a thing. When you leave the world, you get to take everything that's yours with you, which will be the same thing you brought in, which is nothing. Not a thing. It will all be left behind. And it's because it's not yours. It never was yours. It's the Lord's. He's given it to us. The Lord said, the world and everything in it is His. And not only that, this might be a little hard to kind of get, you're not your own. The Lord said in Ezekiel 18:4, "Behold, all souls are mine." Then he also says, any soul that sins will die. But if you place your faith and trust in Christ, you are not your own, as you've been bought with a great price. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We're here for a short while, and we are stewards of what God has given us. So if the owner is generous, benevolent, can't even say that right now, then shouldn't you as a steward be a generous giver? Why are we stingy? I mean frugal. Why are we that way? What are we trying to do? Yes, we need to be good stewards, but we need to recognize the great sacrifice that the Lord has made for us, and we in turn are willing to give and to share. And unfortunately, Christians have a bad reputation of being mean and stingy. And one of the places you'll find that is when you go to the restaurants. Because the waiters and the waitresses say the worst tippers are the ones who leave the tracks. So that the world doesn't look at us very well. And oftentimes the world looks at us, it's like y'all are against all these things, and y'all start lambasting us for all this, but you don't do anything. That's the world's view of us. Because what are we doing to help out with any cause or help out with any situation? They look at us as like, y'all are against everything that we're for, which, you know, the Lord has given us instructions, but there's no love shown, and we aren't there to help or to provide. Part of our problem here, and in other places too, it used to be that when there were needs and stuff, the church was taking care of that. Now the government takes care of a whole lot of that stuff, and we've just kind of withdrawn and done as much. Now, obviously, we know that there's a lot of organizations, a lot of different things where people are doing things to help out. But overall, the world's view of us is not very good. And it's not because we're necessarily Christians. It's because we want to hammer them over the head with the Bible, but we don't show them any love, and we don't want to give them it. You know, we don't want to help out the situation. And that's what they're looking at. So if you're giving a tip and you're leaving a tract, leave them a good tip. Lesson two, giving is not a money issue. It's a heart issue. You hear of churches struggling financially, and the pastor keeps preaching on giving. Giving is not the issue. Giving is the barometer of our spiritual condition. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Matthew 6:21. And I've thought about that before, and it's like, well, I don't have that much money, and I don't really, like, value that. Anything that you value, that you're putting treasure, whether that's something that you do, a hobby, or something that you have, whether that be a car, a house, or whatever the thing may be, if you treasure that, you're putting money into it, either to increase it, maintain it, whatever it is, you're still putting money into it. You value that, and that's where your heart is at. As a Christian, we need to learn to hold things loosely in this life. It's passing, it's fleeting, but also God is a jealous God. He doesn't want anything coming between us and Him. Yet so many things come, they can, and they do come between us and Him, and sometimes they become idols, as they have a higher, they're higher on our affection list than God is. So we have to be careful about the materialistic things that we have and to realize that God is the giver and sustainer of everything. So the first thing we see is that Paul is telling them they need to abound, excel in giving. The next thing we see in verse 5 is that they gave of themselves to the Lord first. but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. God wants your heart first and foremost. He gave His Son so that you could have eternal life. Am I willing to submit myself to Him? It's one of the reasons we only pass the offering plate at the breaking of bread. It's for believers only. We're not collecting from the world. We're not collecting from those who come in to warm up the pew. It's just for believers. It's part of their service. It's part of their worship to the Lord to give to Him. Oftentimes, we hold back different things in our life. We want to have control of that. And we all know that's a battle and for every one of us. There's different things that we keep try to have control of, but we need to turn those things over to the Lord. So not only did they give themselves to the Lord, they gave themselves to their fellow believers. Philippians 2:3-4. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. They had a love for the saints, and they desired to help them. G. Campbell Morgan said, contributions to the work of the Lord are only valuable as they are the gifts of those who are yielded to God. So we need to give ourselves first. Then the second thing was that they gave willingly. In the last part of verse 3, they were willing of themselves. And I was going to read some verses in chapter 9. A couple of verses. In verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So we are to give willingly, not to do it grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm sure you've heard that definition, which we get hilarious from. It is joyful, merry, and is prompt or willing, cheerful. So in doing that, we shouldn't feel pressured to give. You're not cheerful if you're being pressured to do something. Begging for money is unscriptural. As we mentioned before, God does not need your money. God wants your heart. Man gets a little frustrated, and he wants to move at his pace and not God's pace. And so oftentimes we start trying to push and try to take care of the situation ourselves instead of leaving it up to the Lord. And then it proves the sincerity of your love in verse 8, which reminds us of James chapter 2, that your faith is shown by your works. In chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? So out of love, we are taking care of the needs. It's not just like somebody's destitute and we're like, oh, well, you have a good day, buddy. Well, I'll pray for you. You know, it's, you got to lend that helping hand. It's not, that's, we can pray for them, but we need to do something for them. Giving shows or proves our love to the receiver. It's, giving is a barometer of our love. And then we need to give. We give willingly and cheerfully, and we don't give stingily. We give it, and then we fret over it all the time after we gave it, wondering if we're going to be able to make it because I gave it. I've heard stories in the past of somebody having a speaker in, and they barely give them enough money to cover their gas and their food. If you haven't given, you haven't given anything until all the obligations are met. We invited somebody up from Florida, and they got an 11, 12-hour trip, drive 700 miles, and we give them $300. We didn't give them much. The problem is, and I've heard people say this, they focus on, well, he spoke for 45 minutes, so we're giving $300. That's good money right there. No, that's ignorance. That's ignorance. One is, how much time does it take him spending and studying in the Word? Quite a few speakers will say this, 30 or 40 hours of studying to prepare a message. So you give him also, if he's making a living off of that, you gave him $300 to make it all week to take care of all of his expenses. If he was driving that 700 miles, he kind of figures fuel cost round trip being about $225. He's going to need to eat because it's 11, 12 hours. Say if he's pretty frugal, he might come out about $35. So his total is $260 in expenses, so you gave him a $40 gift. Man won't make it very long except for the Lord taking care of him. It's being giving responsibly. We have to think through the process. It may be stingy, but you have to think through. There's both there. I wouldn't say that all of those situations are somebody being stingy. I think they didn't think through the process and understand how need needed to be taken care of. So we need to give responsibly and not be stingy and do what we can to support the spread of the gospel and teaching of God's word. Looking at my time, see if I had time for this. We'll leave it up. All right, so we are to give willingly, not being pressured and not being stingy, but we're to give responsibly, out of love, and with a cheerful heart. The next thing is they gave from what they had. And one of the things, that's what Paul's getting on to the Corinthians about. So first, they were willing mind, is accepted. In verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So often we think, well, if I had $1 million, I would give. No, you won't. If you don't give now, you're not going to give when you have $1 million. The Lord says if you're not faithful in the little things, you're not going to be faithful when he gives you, if he gives you much. And apparently the Corinthians, a year ago, were going to give, but they hadn't done it. And it's possible they were waiting to get a bigger gift. Paul says, get on with it. You don't have that. Give what you have and get it done. I mean, the people were starved while they're waiting on them to get the money. Just give it. If the need is there, don't keep waiting for more. Give it. You can give twice. So, but we give from what we have. Oftentimes, we want to think of those times, you know, well, if I had this, I would do this. It's like, no, give from what you have. The Lord will take care of your needs. And the Macedonians gave out of their poverty. And they were also under persecution. So they're persecuted, they're poor, yet they still wanted to help those that were in need in Jerusalem. So they gave out of their poverty. We see their love for the Lord and for the saints. It reminds us of the widow and her two mites. And we do her a disservice because we say the widow's mite. So it was two. You could just cut her in half by 50%. Treat her right. It was two mites. In Mark 12:41-44, Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold, how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast out of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She gave out of her poverty. Giving is not measured by the amount you give, but how much you have left. Jesus was watching, and he's watching today. No amount is too small. God uses it. From what I've heard, when these people do these campaigns and stuff, the majority of the giving is not large gifts. It's small gifts, $5, $10, $20. That's what makes up the majority of the funds that they receive to help them reach their goal. So we are to give from what we have. Then, again, we're to abound in giving. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he'd also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. The word there is superabound in this grace or generosity. And again, is joy, liberality, or pleasure. 1 Corinthians 9:12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So giving looks after the needs of the saints, but it also creates rejoicing and thanksgiving in your heart and the hearts of others. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So we're reminded that we reap what we sow. You sow one kernel of corn, you'll get maybe 2 or 3 years of corn out of the stalk. But if you sow a field of corn, you'll reap a bountiful harvest of corn. You cannot outgive God. When you trust the Lord with your finances and you give, he will take care of you. You cannot outgive him. So we look through the principles in the Old Testament. What did they give? It was the first of what they had. They didn't wait to give him the leftovers. What's our tendency? we look through, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this through this week. So I'm going to, we're going to give everything, and well, I may have something left over. We'll see how that goes. There's nothing left over. There never will be. If you give to the Lord first, then there may be some that's going to be left over. But he takes care of your needs. And there were those who gave to that. There was a guy, I think his name was Mast. I can't remember for sure. He owned a company in Ohio. We watched a video at Mountaintop years ago. And he started giving to the Lord. And the more he gave, the more the Lord gave back to him. And he kept giving, he kept doing more and more. He was putting tracks in all of his shipments and doing all these different things. Robert Letourneau, does anybody know him? Anybody heard of Letourneau? All right, so he was back. That's Letourneau University, Christian University. Well, he died in 1969. I think he was born in 1888. I had to look him up. I knew a little bit about it. Anyway, he was a believer. He determined to give to the Lord as the Lord blessed him. He continued increasing his giving from his salary and from his company profits until he was giving 90% and living on 10%. His business and his life was guided by one principle, which he was happy to tell every writer that ever did a story on him. God runs my business. His life verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things should be added unto you. He's a good one to look up, just to read. Even Wikipedia has a lot on him. Wikipedia even had in there that he gave 90% of his salary and company profits. He's known in the construction world as the Dean of Earth Moving. He's considered this day to have been the world's greatest inventor of earth moving and materials handling equipment. And pretty much his name is synonymous with a lot of that. A short little article. I'll read through it. This is a lesson on priorities from R.G. Letourneau, and it's by Randy Alcorn. R.G. Letourneau understood God's purpose for blessing him financially. An inventor of earth-moving machines, Letourneau reached the point of giving 90% of his income to the Lord. As he puts it, I shovel out the money, and God shovels it back, but God has a bigger shovel. My family has experienced God's bigger shovel. The abundant material provision is to the giver. In some cases, it's obvious, such as an unexpected check in the mail or being given something just when we thought we'd have to buy it. One time, when we really needed it, it came in the form of discovering an error we had made in figuring of our bank balance. In other cases, God's provision is less obvious. Keep this in mind with Kenneth talked about God's faithfulness, and you've probably seen this, but might not quite have thought about it this way. In other cases, God's provision is less obvious, but equally real. A washing machine that should have stopped a decade ago keeps on working. A car with 200,000 miles on it runs for 2 years without so much as a tune-up. A checking account that should have dried up long before the end of the month somehow makes it through. As God miraculously stretched the oil and the bread of the widow in Elisha's day, and as he made the clothes and sandals of the children of Israel last 40 years in the wilderness, I'm convinced he sometimes graciously extends the life of things that would normally have to be replaced. We often thank God for his behind-the-scenes provision, including preventing accidents and incidents that would have been costly. God provides not only in what he gives, but at times in what he keeps from us. Have you ever noticed that excess money just seems to dissipate in a multitude of directions? When the Israelites were building their paneled houses and God's house was in ruin, God says to them, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. God explains that because of the nation of Israel had given to themselves and not to him, he had minimized and dissipated their profits so they didn't come out ahead. We need to give careful thought to our ways, asking ourselves if we'd do better to give more to the Lord and ask him to maximize what we keep. That's so much better than trying to hang on to more, only to watch it leak out of our pockets. And the Lord did bless him, I think, when he ended up selling the he ended up selling his company to do some more inventing. I think he sold it about $25, $30 million or something like that. That was back in the, well, he died in 1969, so that was more than what that would be today. George Mueller, another one. We're well aware of the accounts of how the Lord provided for him. I was listening to a message, and the guy said that at one time, George Mueller funded the China Inland Mission single-handedly. He was the only one given to it, and the Lord used him for that. You cannot outgive God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. So how do we do it? We say that we're to give ourselves to the Lord first and then to the saints. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then we see in chapter 16 that concerning the collection for the saints, is that I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, and that there be no gatherings when I come. So each person, they need to purpose in their heart to give. Each one of us, we have to purpose in our heart to give. We're to set it aside, lay it up, store it up, and give it at the first of the week. Now, we can give it other places, other things, but that's the pattern that we see and the way we do the passing the plate, the basket, whatever. So we need to purpose in our heart to give. We need to determine how much we're going to give. When you get paid, when the money comes in, give the determined amount to the Lord first. Don't give him leftovers. And as we just read in Haggai, the Lord said he put holes in their pockets. The money was dissipated because they would not take care of the things that they needed to and give to him first. So don't give him the leftovers, because as I mentioned earlier, there won't be any leftovers. That's just the way it works. Been there and done that. So maybe your position is there's always too much month at the end of the check. That can be the case. Been there and done that. Pray about it. Determine to trust the Lord and give him his portion first and see what he does. He will take care of you. A suggestion that was given to me several years ago has been very beneficial. Some people put their money in an envelope or whatever, is just open up a separate checking account and put that money, what you determine to give the Lord, put it into the separate checking account. And that works great. You can give to all kinds of things as a, you know, it's not a collection place, so to speak. So, but as you give, you can still let some of that build up, and you can give to other needs. You can give to people in need, and you can see that's completely separate. It's not mixed up with anything else. It's not an envelope where I have to look at it. Envelopes also can work, but that has been very good. Just write a check straight from that one. And it's been very helpful for us. In Malachi, the Lord told his people, try or prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Malachi 3:10. This doesn't mean he's going to make you a millionaire and because you started giving. But he will take care of your needs. And you will receive blessing from it. So, who do we give to? The local church. We support the ministry of and for the saints. Those in need, they were given to the church in Jerusalem during famine. Widows, Paul gives instructions on this. It wasn't every widow. There were qualifications. The poor, the work of the gospel, those doing the work of the Lord, whether that's locally, here in this country or abroad in other countries. but also give responsibly. If you're encouraged by a radio program, radio station, if you're receiving, you know, a devotional or something, give to them. That stuff doesn't happen on its own. Uplook Magazine, for years, I think you can still get it, but for years they sent that out at no charge. And believers were blessed by it, but they didn't give to it. And so they constantly, you know, had problems. And I think it pretty much went to being online because we wouldn't give to it. If you're being encouraged by something, you might not like the way that they ask for money or something else, but if you're listening to the radio station every day, give to them. It don't happen on its own. It takes money to do those things, for those things to run. If you're being blessed by something, you're enjoying it, help them out. You might not agree with everything, but hey, you're sitting here listening to it, enjoying it, so help them out. Preeminence of Christ in giving. We are to put Him first. We're to give ourselves to Him first, make Him Lord of our lives, recognizing everything we have has been given to us by Him. We are stewards of it. He is our sustainer and provider for all of our needs and desires. We're to trust Him. As we saw in Matthew 6, He will take care of us. And then we are to be like Him, who He was rich, He became poor for our sakes, that through His poverty we might be rich. He gave His all, and He became poor for our sakes, so that we would become rich. Giving is part of the new nature. The old nature is selfish and looks after self only. The new nature is like Christ and is generous and giving and cheerful. So as we think about giving, we sang that song, He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. So the Lord has given us His best. He's given us Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sin, reconciled us back to God. He is our provider and our sustainer. He's given us eternal life, but yet we have trouble trusting Him with our life and our finances and our circumstances that we're in. He should be first in everything. He wants us to have pleasure and enjoyment in giving. He wants us to abound in it, to be a cheerful giver. And there's needs all around us. And again, we have to give responsibly and think through processes and so forth. But I think a lot of times we say we're trying to be good stewards and we say we're trying to be frugal, but really we just don't want to give something. We're trying to hold on to it as much as we can. The Lord didn't tell us, and again, trying to keep a balance here, the Lord didn't tell us to analyze every situation. He said to give. When somebody had a need, it was to give. Now, again, we're not trying to throw out money, hard-earned money that we had to work for because somebody else won't work and they're over here. But we have to think through that process, but we have to be careful that our heart's not just looking for a way out of, can't help you, sorry. So giving is something we probably should do more study on and teaching on. And it's not about getting money for here. It's about the blessing that the Lord has for us in giving. And when you see these people that have given their lives to the Lord and then they're giving Him, it's like it doesn't matter what they give. They, you know, the Lord's taking care of them. And it doesn't really matter. He's going to take care of us if we will trust Him to do that. And
most of us are very know a lot of the stories from George Mueller and his giving of himself to the Lord and letting him take care of his needs. All right, let's go ahead and close. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your great love for us. We just thank you that you would send your beloved Son, that he would leave the realms of glory, come here to earth, and give his life for us so that we could be reconciled back to you, that through his poverty we could become rich. And we just thank you for that. We just thank you for the eternal life we have in him and the rich blessings that we have through him, all the heavenly blessings that we have, and how that we are truly blessed beyond our imagination. And we just ask that you just help us as we go through life here, that we would turn everything over to you, that we would seek after you with all of our hearts, our souls, and our minds, and seek to honor you and glorify you in all that we have, especially with our finances, as we have looked at those today, and that we'll be willing to be givers as Christ was. In Jesus' name, amen.